Well, we'll be checking in on that. Let me ask you something else. Were you ever in Southern California at any time in 1966?
Is this about the Riverside killing?
Yes.
Well, I guess I was there around that time. I used to go down there a lot. I liked the auto races.
Foreman says that you're ambidextrous.
No, that's untrue.
You can't write with both hands.
My teachers tried to make me when I was a kid, but I couldn't. I'm left-handed.
He also said that you made statements about killing school children.
That is horrible. That's a horrible thing to say.
So you aren't angry about being fired from Valley Springs for touching your students?
I'm not the Zodiac.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian, and back from wherever he was.
Where were you, Damian?
Yes, where were you?
I was looking into, preserving my brain in, cyberspace. All right, so I went to Google, and Google told me to go fuck myself. So it didn't really work out.
By the way, I don't know if this happened to you. Well, Douglas, I guess it would be specific, because Damian doesn't really have a smartphone. But something I noticed today when I left today to go and watch Man of Steel again, and when I got to Man of Steel, I looked at my phone and I saw a strange icon that I had never seen before, and it said, "You are X miles away from home," and it knew where my home was.
Wait,
but
have
I've
you
never
not
told
seen
my phone
never
where
Google
my
now?
Home is?
Damian, Andrew, this is Google
Andrew,
now.
This is the saddest
no,
ad
yes,
ever.
Yes, I have been using like Google now, and it's been catching lots of things, like how Douglas was talking about it, saying it giving him Chelsea news because mm-hmm. he typed Chelsea into Google, the Google Notes or whatever.
Right.
Which the same thing happens to me. Like I go in there now and I see lots of movie stuff because I always writing in my top fives in there and things like that. But I had never seen it figure out where I live just because of I don't know.
Let me tell you, Andrew, when I actually flashed my phone to the newer version of Android, the Jelly Bean, I think it took about 3 days for it to know where I lived. About that. So I don't know what you're doing. But you're clearly doing it wrong if it's taken you this long for it to figure out where your house is.
Well, maybe it's been doing it and it's just been doing it quietly. It's been like, I know where he lives.
Andrew, despite not having a smartphone, according to you and everybody else, I've been using Google now since they announced it last year. Andrew, it gets creepier than that.
I just thought it was creepy.
Oh, yeah. It tells me when my Amazon packages have shipped.
Yeah,
it does that for me, too.
It's insanely creepy. There's times when it gets things right and I go, all right, fine. But then there's times when it gets things wrong and I go, all right, Google. Google, you have to stop this. Because I didn't ask for this. And no. All right. Yeah, but this is a movie podcast and we're running short on time.
Oh wait, before we actually get into what we're talking about, Damian, you were absent last week and we discussed a film which I love. Abbas Kiarostami's Close Up, and you weren't there.
Right.
I really want to know what you thought about the film before we get into like our regular stuff.
So I already told you what I thought and you reacted as if I had punched someone you love in the face. And so I kind of figured that you love this movie. But when I got here, I spoke to Douglas. And Douglas said that he also told you that he wasn't that big into this movie. And so I can imagine how you feel now, halfway around the world or wherever it is here. Just furious listening to this end of the conversation. Because none of us on this side like your movie. I understand that you love it, but I thought the movie was mediocre. there's just like there's things, especially now that I know you love it. I don't really want to go into all the things that I don't really like about the movie, because that just seems, it doesn't feel right. You're not here to defend. I mean, by defend, I mean punch me in the face. And part of the reason could be that, you know, my family was going through some shit last week. So maybe I wasn't paying all the attention I should have paid. I'll probably watch it again. At least that's the lie I'm telling myself now. But I didn't really... It just wasn't that good. It really wasn't.
And with that, I guess we can just move into this week's review, because I'm not going to address that.
Yes.
I'm happy Damien said what he had to say, you know, because he wasn't here, but we're just going to move on.
You're just going to edit that out of the podcast.
I'll try my best. I'll try my very best. So this week, Douglas asked us to talk about this German film, The Silence. Douglas, why don't you tell people what this is about?
Well, this movie, I would say it's been a long time coming. A very long time ago, when we used to speak about trailers, when things like Google Wave used to exist.
And both.
Oh, yes. I found this trailer, and... At the time, nobody paid much attention to me. And I think...
It's German. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that was something of the response that I got from both of you guys. But I still loved it.
We hadn't seen the trailer, though. The first time you...
No, the first time...
You put it in the Wave doc.
Yeah.
And said it was awesome. But we didn't see... Well, at least
See the trailer. Yeah, I hear you. But, so, you know, you guys kind of trumped it and said, you know, this is foolishness. Yeah, I'm not talking about
the
it.
Silence, come on.
Then... I think it was probably 2-3 months ago about that. The trailer, almost the same trailer, which is why when we were watching it, myself and Damien, he kind of tested my response. I almost shit my pants and was like, I know this from somewhere. It came up again because now it's getting a re-release in the States. And finally, Damien was able to give it a watch and agreed and said, this trailer is fantastic. And I believe Andrew had the same response when he actually did watch it this time.
I think I still said it's German. Who the fuck cares?
All right. Okay, sure. It's still thumb approved because the two majority shareholders win. So, so finally, after a long-fought battle, I have been able to get us to watch this movie and review this movie for a podcast. This movie is about, let's say, a little town where something unspeakable happens. A child is abducted, abused, and killed, and found some months later floating in the lake. And then we fast forward about 23 years later, and the same crime, down to every detail, is committed again. In the same spot, everything, even down to what the girl was doing at the time of capture. And it brings up a lot of old, you know, feelings. You have the parents, or rather the mother of the first child that was abducted, having to live through it. Now you have new parents having to live through their own trauma. And you have the police trying to figure out who done it. And that's really what this movie is about. This movie is very much an emotional sort of, not so much mystery, but I guess you could consider it along the lines of a thriller. Somewhere around there. So that is my description of this film. What I will say about this movie is I'm sad because yet again the trailer has caught me. We have been fooled by very many a trailer, And this one fooled me once again. I would not go as far as to say this movie is bad, because it is not. There's no way that I don't think anybody can say that. But it's definitely... Maybe Andrew. Maybe Andrew.
But it's German, right?
All right. So I just want to start off with that. I sound very negative because my expectations were at one point and it came in at another point. So I just want to make sure nobody out there thinks that I'm hating on this movie.
Flew in on the expectations.
Right. But this film definitely did not go to the place where it advertised. It was, however, beautiful. It was a very pretty movie. The acting was great, and the story actually was pretty decent. I kind of liked what they did with Damien. Are you okay over there?
Just continue.
You must be seeing things.
I heard something over.
Okay,
like
this
room is collapsing.
So the story was pretty decent in terms of what happened throughout the movie and sort of, I guess, actions that were done and decisions that were taken and, you know, the symbology of certain aspects of this film. I really did like that. But the truth is, I think for what it was a little bit drawn out. It was a little bit long. And they're just... wasn't, I don't want to say cohesive, but it didn't capture your I wasn't enthralled with this movie. There are movies where the time passes in a second and you are there with them and
edge of your seat.
But this was not that kind of movie, and I think that really was its biggest downfall, its main downfall. And sadly, I would have to say that is why I was not the biggest fan of this film.
Okay. Andrew? I want to hear what Andrew thinks.
So regardless of how I kind of make it sound, I'm not that bad on this movie. I mean, I do kind of take offense at the fact that while watching this movie, I got the feeling like the guy felt he was making Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, but his movie's nowhere near anywhere in goodness of just visual story or anything as much as Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But taking that out of the equation, this movie is, and without a doubt, ridiculously mediocre. I mean, everything about it just feels questionable. I like the idea of the story that they put forward. I like the idea of this murder happening 23 years later, and it kind of spurs this investigation into the old crime and all of these things happening. I even kind of like the end twist, but the film on a whole, it just feels... It feels like you could walk away, come back, and you wouldn't really miss anything for a lot of it. There are points where I don't think I got where it was going until it literally just pointed it to me. It's like, we're talking about it, and someone goes, right, this is what I've been saying for the last 20 minutes, and I hope you got it, because this is the last time I'm going to say it, and there. And it annoyed me. I don't want to go so far as to say I loathe this movie. I think I hate it. I think I loathe it. You know what? I don't loathe it. You know what? I think I'm going to hate it just because you guys don't like my movie from last week. But I'm sorry. This movie is just mediocre, Douglas. You were tricked by a trailer because they decided to cut together all of the overhead pretty shots where they had a good camera and not put any dialogue in it. That's what happened to you, Douglas. And sadly, they gave us all the dialogue and we're just kind of like, you could have cut a lot of that.
This from a man that likes Tree of Life. I want everybody to remember this. Yeah. Tree of Life gave us all the dialogue that trailer didn't give us. It was terrible. Alright.
If you want to compare something like this to Terrence Malick's movies, like it's it's nowhere near close.
Let's not do that. I'm not going to defend this movie. I have other things to do. Much like Douglas, I wanted this movie to be amazing. I saw that trailer and lost my goddamn mind. And when Douglas said we're reviewing this, I'm sure I've watched this. And then I started watching it. No, why didn't I watch this? Oh, that's right. I couldn't get it in the proper definition, which is a first mark against. No, me. I couldn't.
No, but I'm saying...
Yes, that is fine, but I couldn't find one. Whatever. So I started watching the movie, and the story could have been done better. And that is the major downfall of the movie. Everything else is in place. Both acting and direction. Well, there's one point where the guy was in this like dream state and running, and there was like a shaky camel thing, like those terrible horror movies. And that was the only point I went, don't do this, don't have this happen again for the rest of the movie, and they didn't, which was good. But everything else was in place. They just, how the story was executed, it was just poorly done. It was interesting enough in the hands of, I guess, a better editor, that could have, narrowed the scope of the movie, or, cut away a lot of the fat and give us, because the movie's 2 hours, give us a tighter movie where it was easier to follow, because the movie tried to, string us along as to how everything was going to play out. The problem with doing that is they gave us all the information about what had happened up front. And so for the rest of the movie, it is just the other people in the movie trying to work out the thing that the audience already knows. And so dragging that out over 2 hours was probably not the best idea. But the movie is terrible. Andrew hates it because he hates Germans. I don't know what the Germans ever did to Andrew. Right. I understand. I mean, Andrew was what, 60, 70 years ago? You need to. It was a long time.
They won Champions League, okay? They won Champions League. That's what happened.
All right.
And they won first and second place of Champions League.
Douglas could be angry about that, not you. So yeah, the movie isn't the best movie. If you are into foreign films, there's other better foreign films that you can watch. Speaking of things coming from abroad, Luther starts next Tuesday.
Is it that soon?
You're goddamn right, is that soon.
Oh, yes.
At least according to IMDb, wherever they're pulling their TV information from.
That's wonderful.
It says next Tuesday. So, yeah. That's more Luther. Let's get on that shit. But this movie, The Silence, or whatever it is in German, whatever that...
Das Left Stream.
Stop. That's just racist.
like the movie. We've been doing a lot of foreign films.
Yeah, right. I was going to point that out. I was going to say there must come a point where we do like a summer movie roundup where we just talk about movies human beings have seen. I was looking through, I'm like, we haven't reviewed anything anybody would ever. We have narrowed the scope of this podcast to like a point. And we used to be broad and talk about movies the whole world have seen. And then we started getting narrower and narrower. It's gotten to the point now where it is us three and like 2 other people on earth that have seen these movies. And I think if we're going to have people continue to listen to this podcast, we need to throw them a bone. Like, review something that mere mortals have seen. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, Damien, I think you will have that opportunity next week. I believe it is your pick.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be the one. I've already dreamed up madness. The movie's okay. It's a 2. All right, so it's not terrible, but it's not great. The thing that the movie is missing is, that intangible thing, that thing that grabs you early and keeps you watching. It just didn't have that. And
Alright, so like, you're right, Damon, it's the thing that doesn't grab you, because, I mean, a lot of movies like this. I mean, I even brought up Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy as something, because for me, like, there were a lot of shots, like, within the library, or whatever it is they call it. I don't know if they actually called what it was, in the evidence room or something, where you kind of had from the behind with the lit, and it felt like Tinker Tailor. And the thing about this movie is, what it doesn't have is it that thing which makes you kind of want to stay with our protagonists, right? Because I don't know if it's that, like how you said, that the mystery, we already know what's going on pretty much. But for the whole movie, we're just there going, we're almost the worst voyeur. We're the voyeur who's there watching but doesn't ever feel a need to watch. I don't know if that's for you guys.
I think... While watching it, I thought that if they had focused on Timo's story, just him unraveling as this thing happened again, if they had focused on that and not the police story, I think it would have made for a more interesting movie. Because you'd have seen where he was complicit in the first act, and then he tried to put all of it behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it happened, you saw it trigger in his head, and then you saw him slowly... slip, because the information we were given at the beginning, you didn't realize. You saw that he went along with it, but you didn't realize that he had those tendencies as well. You thought he was just the other guy.
Yeah.
And if they had focused on him, so revealed that he was this person, he tried to, you know, live a good life and raise his family and, you know, keep that side of him.
Like bottled, you know, up.
Right. Yeah. And then this happened and it just triggered all those emotions that he saw it slowly driving him crazy, which that was essentially the third act, but it wasn't enough of his story. That is what they should have focused on.
And the sad thing is, what little you saw of that, he did perfectly.
Right.
This movie could have been like a Daniel Day-Lewis sort of movie, and he would have pulled it off.
That is the part of the movie that, you know, the truly good part of the movie that, if you remember anything about the movie, it would be that. You'll see, you know, I especially like the final shot with him, you know, how went before, and you go, okay, right. Like, you see him make the decision, and then you see him starting to regret the decision, but it's already, like, he seems, and it's already too late. And you go, all right, fine.
And there's, you know what, there's a really good shot of after that when, you know, they found out, hold on, this is our guy, and they're at his house, and the wife now knows, and you have a shot of the wife with the children beside her, and all of them just being like, what the fuck?
That is like, that shot reminded me of, we need to talk about Kevin, that Tilda Swinton shot when she found her. Like, that is, I need to watch that movie again. It's so good.
Yeah.
So I have a question, because like I mentioned the final twist where it kind of talks about who did the most recent crime. Because we already know who did the crime in 86. Mm-hmm. Like, it tells us up front. But the thing about it is, right before they had that moment, the movie almost implies that they're one of two other people in the film who committed the crime. I don't know if you guys got that, but would you guys have found that more or less interesting than what it gives us in the movie?
Wait, sorry. When you're talking about the crime, you're talking about the latest one that, like,
One, the one that kind of brings back up the old crime and such.
And so they're saying that one of about two people could have done it, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying before they gave us that final moment, which kind of confirms who did the latest crime, or at least who the film proposes to do the latest crime.
Yeah.
There's right before that confirmation, there's the way the film is going, it implies that there's two other people who could have done it, who probably would have done it, who had a reason to do it. There's a scene where the guy working the case figures out that there was a second guy in the car.
Right.
And he starts to talk about how the two cases don't really match.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he didn't rape the latest girl. The latest girl wasn't raped. She was just killed. Grabbed and killed, basically. And he talks about the fact that the person, the person who did the latest crime knew this and did it on purpose so that we would start looking into the older crime. And then you start to think about who would want us to purposely look into these crimes. Who would be this angry that they would go to this length? And to me, the only two that came to mind would be the mother of Pia, the older crime, the 86 crime, and the retired detective, the older detective. I apologize for confusing the detectives.
As you're saying it, I kind of understand where you're going, but the mere fact that they gave us all that information up front clearly meant that, you know.
Yeah, I think the whole way through, I can't speak for Damien, but I know the whole way through I was saying, clearly it's one person that did this.
Right.
It must be the guy.
It's the dude.
Right? And Damien says he can see it. I still don't fathom either of those two people doing this crime.
Based on Andrew's description of the situation, right? I can understand how Andrew made that step where, you know, the guy said, the person who did this, you know, isn't the same person, right?
We're talking about, so essentially in that split second
before the full
reveal happens. Okay.
Right. I can understand how Andrew
Fair enough. I now sympathize.
I'm going to pitch you guys my version of this movie, right? I already said most of it with, you know, focus on Timo. But what they could have done is, saying the third, because the first two acts are pretty straightforward. Timo is living this new life, because they start the movie the same. Mm-hmm. Timo is living this new life, then it happens and he goes and finds the other guy. The third act should have been the other guy trying to convince him that it really wasn't him, right? And then having the police being on the other side, so you have this kind of triangle. You have him in the center that he clearly isn't the one, but the police is now essentially saying Timo is the one that murdered these people. Like, the police have caught up with him, and the other guy has convinced him, or is trying to convince him, that no, it wasn't me. There's some copycat out there. And like, you kind of dangle the old police guy as the guy that is doing this, or slash the mother, like the same thing that Andrew was thinking, and then just have that resolved somehow. Even if it is not, even if it's the same way how the movie ends now, I think that would have made for a much more interesting movie, but that's not what we got, and we'll never get that. So the movie wasn't terrible. That's, I mean, Andrew hating this movie.
I think what Andrew is doing what it sounded like I was doing at first. Andrew had expectations that were not met, and all of a sudden he is hating. His hate is on hyperdrive.
Right. It didn't help that we didn't like his beloved movie from last
week. Oh, Andrew. Yeah. Close Up is a piece of
Close Up is great.
Douglas, don't do that. Douglas, don't do that. Be the bigger man, Douglas. Don't stoop to Andrew's love. All right. So Close Up and The Silence, pretty mediocre.
Yep.
They're not bad movies. In fact, you should probably get him more watch.
So, a couple weeks ago, I had asked a question about
Is Game of Thrones good?
Sadly, no one answered that question, because that's not the one I asked.
Damn.
Even though I'd be interested in that one. Is Game of Thrones good, guys? I don't know.
No, it's season 3.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Someone on the internet is going to stab me for not
liking
Game of Thrones.
Yes, they are.
I'm well aware that this thing is about
right,
to happen.
He's right here.
No, it's not me. Douglas is lying. Right, so you asked questions.
So the question I had asked a couple weeks ago, with the summer blockbuster season in high gear, do you ever get tired of summer blockbuster movies? And if so, what movies do you watch to kind of cleanse the palate of all of these ridiculously poorly written big explosion movies that they generally are?
Paperback Jellyfish.
Damien.
Poorly written big
Damien, experience. How? What do you watch?
That is essentially what that Superman movie was. It was amazing. I remember weeks ago when you asked that I was in disagreement with you, and I still am in disagreement. I don't understand.
Your ad says you watch Fast and the Furious for the 10th time.
It's of course that doesn't make any sense. Not to me. I don't know. I watch Korean movies. Korean revenge movies, which replace the poorly written big explosion part with revenge and more revenge. I don't know. I don't need palate cleansers unless I'm watching Game of Thrones.
So, Anna Long. Anna Long. At Movie Nut 14, she claims that movies she generally watches at that point is any movie that got an Oscar for its actors, director, and or screenplay, which, like, that sounds like the most sensible general answer. I don't know how else.
That's
like,
true.
Yeah.
So, I guess you could watch something like The Daredevil.
What? Right?
She could watch Crash.
I think that could work.
She could watch Crash.
Crash did win. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, I'm employing the 6 degrees of separation here, but you hit it spot on.
So... ignoring you guys.
Avatar.
Ignoring you guys completely. at Baseman _ PhD. I wonder if he actually has a PhD in base. I don't know. He claims that... He claims that he would generally watch films like Zhang Yimou's Hero, Children of Men, Drive, or just Christopher Nolan films. Which, I'd argue, is explosions generally, but are smarter explosions, are more fun explosions, are...
the explosions right. Don't go kapow, right. They right. Go boom, is that what you're saying? They're, right.
They're not
they have a better explosive...
No, the explosions are guided, right? They're not just grenades that blow up everything. It's guided.
Because when Batman comes up with his Batwing, or as they call it in the movie, the bat, and everything just goes boom. It's really a pretty explosion.
I like when that bike, the wheel turns the wrong way, and then it drives into the alley, and then the bat comes out.
I like when those movies are on. that's all I need.
Like, I heard someone argue that the Superman movie isn't good because it's not as good as the Batman movies, which holy shit.
Oh my goodness, that is sad.
I just wanted to talk to that person. I said, alright, so let me get this straight. There's like 20 good movies that have ever been made, because if you can give me a list of say 50 movies that are as good as those Batman movies, I am willing to go down this road with you. But for you to say that it's not good because one of the best movies I have seen is better than it. That is some beautiful.
I'm sure I could name 100 movies better than the Batman movies.
No, you can't.
Now, I'm not saying that you would agree with me.
Mm-mm. Nope. No one will agree with you. No one. Not having this conversation with you again. Because if I remember clearly, there Zachary beat The Dark Knight. If I'm remembering that clearly.
And I'm pretty sure. Hold on. But no, that's not what you need to point out. What needs to be pointed out and illumined and shown to our audience, all two of them, is that the only reason that anything beat Batman, which I can't remember if it was two or three, right. But it was not three, number one. It was three.
Right.
Was because
he didn't want to argue.
Yeah, he didn't want anybody to. Yeah.
Another sparkling piece of Andrew logic.
I thought we were over that one, guys.
No, Andrew,
listen,
never
Andrew,
leave that down.
Andrew
Robinson, you are. I have recording of you saying at a movie you've never seen again is better than The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
The best comic book movie that has ever been made. You found two movies that were better than it. And both those movies you not watched
so,
again.
So, hold on. I was about to say...
I have totally seen Let the Right One In over and over again. I own that on Blu-ray. I love that movie. Mm.
Fair enough. Yeah. All right, fine.
All right, fine. But I was about to say that I used to have that recording, but no, I don't because Andrew deleted it. But then I realized something. So, the other day, right? Yeah. I didn't really notice much, but I saw a notice come up when I opened my Dropbox. Mm-hmm. And it said, AndrewFails.mp3 mm-hmm. has been deleted. Right? And I remember tweeting about it and being like, ho, 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 that's so funny. Now I know why it got deleted. It's not because Andrew's folder was getting bulked up. Andrew just didn't want me to have that recording. No, I understand.
My recording is still available for everyone asshole. Who can go and find the top episode one post on the site.
Alright. What were the other answers? Did you get any more answers?
The other responses that I got, one from Kashiki Harrison, basically saying that at this point he tends to resort to television. He goes to the shows that we love, the shows of The Newsroom, the shows of The Breaking Bads, just gorging on that, which isn't that bad a response at that point. And
not a bad response. I agree with him. However, what I must say is that, Andrew, how dare you put we in this? You do not like Newsroom, and don't you dare come onto the Newsroom bandwagon. It is full, and we have no room. Go to the inn, sir. Go
I'll
to the
stay
inn.
Over here with all the people who love Party Down. So...
I was saying, you two guys enjoy Homeland, so you shouldn't be talking about TV shows. An appreciation because you watch bad TV shows.
Yes, but we shouldn't really be listening to Damien because Damien is an asshole. Yes. So please, let's hear more of our responses.
So the last response I have this week comes from Courtney Small from Big Thoughts of a Small Mind. Big Thoughts from a Small Mind, not of a Small Mind. I keep getting these things wrong at this time. Where it says, at this point, he usually leans to revisiting smaller films like 6 Degrees of Separation or Chasing Amy. Have I talked about how much I love Chasing Amy?
We all have.
I'm not sure how much I love that movie.
Well, Douglas, there's no room for you on this bandwagon.
Good. I don't need any room. Listen, Terry G's got my back, okay? His bandwagon is very empty, and I am probably the only person on it right now, at least from this room. Right. So, so I'm good there, okay?
So, I hadn't really thought about the question at this point, mainly because I didn't think we were actually going to end up doing a recording this week. Because things have gone very awry this week. But I guess the first thing that pops to mind, mainly because I was reading an article on Pajaibo this week, discussing things that breaks your suspension of disbelief in movies. Because movies are entirely about suspension of disbelief. There are some movies which try to be more real, and sometimes that's a negative thing. And there are some movies which refuse to accept reality in any form. And that's when we get Furious 6. But my question is, what are some things out there in movies that... or an example of something that happened in a specific movie that broke your suspension of disbelief and generally you don't like to see in movies? Damien's response is... James Bond turning old.
No, there's a lot of things, but I guess because I've been watching movies so long, I just accept them as things that movies have to do, because there's a finite amount of time in order to, you know, get the things done. You know, little things like whenever there's any important information on the TV, the second they turn on the TV, it is to that news story. Or when they call somebody, the person picks up right away, and they know, like, it's little things, but you You just accept that. Bigger things is like terrible dialogue. Things that no two human beings have ever said to each other. That is usually the first thing that I point and I go, this is completely ridiculous. But it depends on the movie. Because if the movie starts out that way and then just dives head first going down that route, then it becomes not something that draws me out of the movie, but something that makes the movie more endearing. The fairy does it. The FP does it.
Airborne.
Furious 6. No, Airborne is separate. Oh, God. That movie's so dumb. But, yeah. Especially for someone like me, who the type I like big explosions and ridiculous shit happening in movies. And so I have to accept that, you know, most of the times these things happen, you know, if this were applied to real world settings, like the good Die Hard movies, if you have 30 Iron Men looking for one guy in a building, that guy's dead. that is how that equation works. He is dead. And so you.
But
you
he said yippee-ki-yay, Damien, and yippee-ki-yay always wins.
I understand. I understand. And so that is like, you just put that, you set those things aside. The only times, like, I really am pulled out of a movie is when the movie ends and I realize that it is bad, and then I start, you know, adding up all the shit that has made the movie bad. Because when the movie is good, I just look past all of that. And that is why even the guy on YouTube, the cinema scenes guy, when he does those things and I look at them, I go, I saw most of those things. But if it's a movie I like, I go, couldn't care less. But if it's a movie that I don't like, I go, yeah, that is why that movie's terrible.
That's actually kind of true, because when I'm thinking about this, the most recent example I can pick out that completely broke my suspension of disbelief, which is a movie I can appreciate but I definitely didn't like, was End of Watch. And it had to do with the cameras, right?
Right. And I saw the same thing. I remember when we were talking about it. And when they did the camera thing, I went, no, I like that. Sure, a lot of it doesn't make any sense and would have been impossible. But it made the movie more endearing to me. Andrew saw the same thing. I went, this is bullshit. I'm not watching this anymore. Yeah. You only nitpick when you don't like the movie. Because why would you nitpick a movie you like? There's no point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? I'm trying to come up with a specific instance of where my belief was suspended or whatever it is that Andrew was talking about. He used big words. And I'm not sure if I can come up with anything. And I completely agree with what you're saying, because the thing about movies is it's only 2 hours, or an hour and a half, or 3 hours.
Or five, if you're watching Fanny and Alexander.
If you're watching
Lord have you
Rings,
watched Fanny and Alexander?
No, I haven't,
Andrew?
But I had a discussion about that online just the other day, because I went to IMDb and I'm like, I thought this was only like 2.5 hours. Someone's like, no, it's 5 hours if you watch the miniseries. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm never.
Yeah. That's one of those shows I've been meaning to watch, and I actually purchased it and have still not watched it. But anyway, what was I saying? So it's a finite amount of time, so anything on the screen needs to be purposeful. It needs to either drive the story along or bring you in, engage you. Or develop some sort of character or something. It needs to do something. Yeah. You can't have fat, or at least not too much fat.
Right.
You should. There are certain movies where, as you say, it endears you. There's a reason for it. Maybe it's because, you know what, I'm just going to make a movie full of fat. It's going to be foolishness, but it's going to be pretty foolishness or entertaining foolishness. You know, something along the lines of The Great Gatsby or Fairy. And you know, those have their own place. You know, I didn't like Gatsby as much as I love Fairy, but those are both, you know, I think pretty big examples of that kind of filmmaking. And so I'm not, I don't even think I can answer that question.
I don't really mean to blaspheme, but I'm about to. One of our favorite movies of all time, Before Sunrise, right? when I saw that movie, there's a couple of dialogues between the two lead actors. And when I watch it, I go, no two human beings have said this to each other at any point ever. But by the end of the movie, I'm like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. And so, you know, I just, sure. And I just, it's movies. So yeah, there's things that at the time might pull you out, but it is the, I guess it is the sum of its parts. When it comes to the end, you go, all right, I'll look past the few little imperfections in the movie, because on a whole, this movie was great. But when the whole is garbage, that is when you say, well, none of this made sense at any point. So, of course, I wasn't engaged by this movie, because this, and this is foolishness. And so,
Actually, you know what? I'll take that back. I think I've come to an answer for you, Andrew. And we've actually spoken about it on this podcast already. And that would be Joe Wright's... the hell is the name of that thing? With Keira Knightley
and
Jim... No, no. Actually, Ratted. Both of those guys were in that movie. No, the first one.
Atonement.
The Atonement. Thank you. Yes. Yes, the Atonement. And this is a perfect example, because I adored this movie for, I can't remember how long it was, but let's say an hour and 45 minutes out of 2 hours. I was completely and utterly engrossed, on board, and loving it. And then they kind of pulled the curtain, not the curtain, pulled the rug up from underneath me. And I was like, huh? What? No. And I forever hate that movie now because of it. And so, yes, Andrew, there are times when this happens, and Atonement is one of them.
Okay. Let us know what movies it happened to you with.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers. Where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm a part of you, dear.
Junior! Hindi! I've lost him. And I never told him anything. I just wasn't ready, Marcus. 5 minutes would have been enough.
Well, I'd lost you, boy.
I thought you had to, sir.
So, this week, tying in with the German silence, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep calling it German because that's what it is. Douglas wanted us to list off our top five films with kidnappings, about kidnappings. Kidnapping films. Movies to teach us how to kidnap people, because that's how movies are. They're basically manuals, right, Damien?
Yeah. That and video games.
Right.
They're kidnapping simulators. That's all it is.
So I guess I'll start off.
Sure.
And my number five goes to the Coen brothers, who have used this trope a lot, apparently, with one of my favorite movies ever, and that's Fargo. This movie is just brilliant. I love I love how weirdly dark the tone is, where when I'm watching it, I can't tell where the comedy starts and where the seriousness begins, because it just kind of keeps the tone right. It's like a good prank joke where you look someone dead in the eye and everyone around you realizes that you're being the asshole who's making the joke, but the guy you're talking to doesn't quite realize it and he's taking it deadly serious. And I love it about this movie.
All right. Yep, so I guess I'll go next.
Sure.
And my movie, just to fuck with Damien, is The Big Hit.
Oh, Douglas, you're a good man. I did not actually have that on my list.
Seriously?
I forgot about that movie as a kidnapping movie.
Because I got all my joke picks out in the email. Pay attention to Luna's.
But listen, anything with the Trace Buster Buster, that movie has to be on my list.
Oh, God. Douglas. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you a story about how I lost two friends. People came over the house, right? I was talking crazy shit about Mark Wahlberg, right? Which is fine. I said, hey guys, Mark Wahlberg does have one perfect movie. And I sat these people down and we started watching The Big Hit. And maybe 45 minutes in, they just went, damn it, this movie is dumb. And I looked at them and said, you guys can't ever talk as long as you're alive. Don't speak to me. Don't call my name. Don't even look at me. Please leave my house now. Because you got... What? Are you watching this? Is it the same movie? Like, there must be some mythical other movie behind the screen that you're paying attention to. Because this is a masterpiece. Oh, goddamn, I love that movie. Oh, Jesus. Well done, Douglas. My first movie is a Tarantino classic that came out last year. The Django is tremendous.
Where was there a kidnapping in that?
His
they
wife.
Listen, no.
They were free, and then they took her.
Listen here, Andrew. You realize that all of those slaves were kidnapped, right?
All right, I was looking at it like that, but fine. Specifically, though, both Django and his wife were free, and then they got took. Yeah, he got took, and she got took. So yeah, she was technically kidnapped because she's free, and they took her to be a slave. So yeah, and Andrew, it saddens me that you don't like Django more. Of all the Tarantino movies, for us to have diverging opinions, I can't believe this is the one where I feel stronger about the movie than you do. That's ridiculous. Django is fantastic. It is amazing that Tarantino has done this movie. And Andrew is just like, meh. I like it because it's Tarantino, but...
I thought I was the positive one. I wasn't positive enough to make it number one of the year.
Yes.
But...
Yes,
I don't get how you equate Andrew putting it as number four or number five. Too Andrew didn't like that movie
like
that
the
much.
The Dark Knight thing, where the Dark Knight was number one because you're a moron. I won't let you live this down, Andrew. It's never going to happen. As far as I'm concerned, you don't even like this movie. Right? You're a bad person for not liking this movie, Andrew. You're a bad person. And Foxy Brown is on Blu-ray. Guess who's never buying that? Damien White. Oh, and Douglas raised his hand too. So for that movie.
Jackie
Guess
Brown.
Guess who owns
I
Django already?
Movie.
Damien White. You're a bad person. What's your number four pick?
My number four goes to a John Ford classic. And I'm getting more and more into these John Wayne movies because The Searchers is a fantastic film. Yes. I wasn't too strong on this movie when I first saw it, but upon rewatches, like, I kind of get more and more into the world of The Searchers and just how Ford was able to make this very slow but very interesting film about these two men just continually looking for this girl who's been taken by the Indians, the Native Americans. I mean, there's a lot of racist tones in there, as is with all of those movies when they're talking about Native Americans. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, I'd almost like to say it's the one classic Western which really comes up against the later True Grit, which I love so much, for how it depicts the West. And how I enjoy that depiction.
Okay, Douglas.
So, guys.
Yes. Douglas was being very racist. Like, I was fighting the urge to laugh/ kick Douglas in the face because he was being extremely racist.
However.
By the way, Damien, why are you always attacking people in the face? Why not the guts, the leg, the.
No. Most people can't fight, and once you hit them in the face, the fight is over. I can tell that you've never been in a fight.
Thank you. I shall take notes. How to fight?
Yes, punch the
punch
person
in the face,
straight in the face, and that is it. The fight is over. Unless they are a professional boxer, then you're in
some serious problems. But I do have a number four movie. And this number four movie, I think everybody will agree, should be higher on my list. Mm-hmm. However, I am employing the age-old wisdom of take it while it's still on the table.
Yeah.
And
fair enough. Fair enough.
That movie is Old Boy.
Okay.
I don't think anybody can...
Right, I expected one of you.
Yeah,
guys,
yeah, yeah.
There's no way it was going to.
It had to be taken... nobody can argue the merits or demerits of this film. This film is just about perfect.
Until they ruin it next year when Spike Lee.
Yeah, but for now it's perfect.
It's this year, by the way.
Huh?
It's this year, by the way.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Keanu Reeves still in it?
What is wrong with you? But so yes, dumb. That is my number four. I love it to death. Park Chan-wook for the win.
So... using Douglas's principle, I'm going to put my number four on the table. I'm not this director's biggest fan, but when he does things right, he does it right. Man on Fire is unbelievable.
Yup.
There's one movie that I would put ahead of this movie. I'm putting this now because I expected someone to put this.
But there's only
one movie on this list that is technically superior to this when it comes to, you know, people that have been taken. But holy shit, guys. Man on Fire is incredible. Like this, look. Every time I think about both the little girl and Chrissy Bear, this is the only thing I think of. Every time I see them on film, no matter how old they get, no matter what they're in, the only point of reference that I go back to is Man on Fire, and it is amazing. Andrew Robinson.
So, fuck you, Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you didn't think Old Boy was going to be sure.
But more importantly, thank you, because you guys heard me kind of complaining before we started recording, where I was kind of figuring out my list, and I'm like, I wanted that movie in there, but... I'm going to leave it off because someone's going to steal something. So I get to call it. And it is a 1985 classic where Arnold Schwarzenegger kills a man on a plane and spends the next 11 hours running down these people who took his daughter. And this is Commando, people. Commando. This movie's amazing.
Like these... Was this like a joke? Top 5? I thought we were doing serious picks here.
By the way, speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, mm-hmm. Do you know that he's not in one, but two movies this year with Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know how that has happened, but it's very sad.
And it's sad because I watched the latest trailer, Endgame or whatever it's called, and I find myself seriously wanting to watch
it. No, Douglas, don't do it.
A bad person. They're both 90.
Go watch the one that came out in January. It's actually really fun. Go watch that movie. The Last Stand.
That one had both of them in there?
No, I didn't think it did.
Yeah.
What they need to do is every time they think about putting Arnold in a movie, call The Rock. That's what they need to do.
I like that principle.
Right. Let's call him.
By the way, The Rock is making a Hercules movie right now for next year.
He has a TV show called The Hero or some shit that is on.
He has a TV show?
Yeah.
Really?
That's called Hero.
Where is this?
Some. Don't know or care. It's like reality TV.
Oh, reality thing. TV.
No,
oh.
He's setting challenges for these people to make them into heroes or something.
No,
so.
I heard it and went, guys,
don't waste his time.
I mean, I do love The Rock, but the love goes only so far.
It goes as far as wrestling and then it turns back. Like, every time I'm switching through cable stations and I see him as a wrestler, I'm like, oh, right, that is his job. And then I watch it for a second, and I'm like, oh, right, wrestling is still the worst.
So, Douglas, you're number three.
Mm-hmm.
My number three, I had it in my head and I've forgotten. Oh, yes, right. How could I forget a movie like this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Damien might still, you know, speak to joke mm-hmm. things.
Because you guys are
apparently, we are morons. Mm-hmm. However... There is a movie
mm-hmm.
with a man who has a certain set of rules.
Right.
For whenever he takes a job.
Of course.
And one of those rules is never look in the package. Well, unfortunately, he looked in the package in this movie. And this movie is The Transporter.
Right.
And
then the second one, he flipped a car.
That was the second or the third one?
The second
one
was when he flipped the car. The third one was the two wheels between the two trucks.
Ah, all right.
And in the fourth one, he killed Han.
Right, and in the fourth one, he killed... Douglas doesn't get that reference.
Damn it! Andrew, I have not watched that movie yet. Douglas, you're an asshole.
It was beautiful to watch Douglas puzzle for a second. I was like, what the fuck? What?
Like, how have I not watched Han,
what? I've never seen it.
But yes, The Transport is awesome.
All right.
There's kidnapping afoot.
So now I'm going to the masters of this realm, the Koreans.
Yes.
Man From Nowhere is
that The Wallet?
Favorite. Yeah, that's the wallet with the knife.
I like how we need to remind Douglas that it's the wallet each time.
No, the movie is dead simple, right? It is someone is taken and he is going to do everything to get her back. And it is manipulative, there's sad, sad music. Like, it is paint by numbers, except... The Koreans are so good at it. So good at it. That even though you see the gears in the back, you do not care. Because what is in front of you is fantastic. I love that. Oh my God, I love that movie. Sweet Jesus, I love that movie. It is not better than Man on Fire. But, oh God. I love it. And everybody. Like, if you're not watching Korean revenge films, just... stop what you're doing and go and watch one. Like, no, don't listen. Stop listening to this. Just do it now. Andrew Robinson.
My number two is one of probably the best crime movies I've seen forever. And it's a movie which the franchise has been begging to try and equal, but really has never done so. And this is the Silence of the Lambs. Because the thing is that every movie that came after it has tried to make it more action or more just campy Hannibal Lecter. But they don't realize that the point isn't to be more. The point is to be that exact line of just great crime movie and great character. And... I love this movie. I don't know anyone who doesn't like this movie. I mean, maybe people who kind of throw their eyes on the sheets the moment they hear scary music in movies. But yeah, this movie is fantastic, and I don't know anyone who can say otherwise to it.
Okay, so for my number two, I could... Honestly, this happens so many times. I could just say James Bond. Right, because I think it happens in every movie.
Yeah.
I think he gets taken in every movie. However, I am going to pay particular attention to the one named Skyfall. That movie is just words cannot describe how awesome this movie is.
It's really good.
It's really good. And Javier Bardem is one of the best Bond villains ever.
So, okay, Javier Bardem gets kidnapped. Yeah. Who gets kidnapped in that movie?
James Bond
gets kidnapped in that movie. I don't understand how that is.
You know that part on the boat where people with guns took him to a strange island where Javier Bardem rubbed him down?
Remember that part? Yeah. And then the rest of the movie theater got up in arms because James Bond was getting
some man touched
gate
James
out.
Bond.
Like, oh, wait, no, sorry, you weren't here to see that.
Oh, God, I hate Jamaica.
Oh, my goodness.
Every time I saw it twice, and it was the same reaction.
Yeah,
people showed.
I loved it. I loved every time they had that reaction. I was like, "Right, you guys are dirtbags.
Right, you guys are idiots, morons." Number two for me is The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight is the best superhero movie that has ever been made, and they took two people. He could only save one. He picked the wrong one.
Yes, he did.
And the movie should have ended there. To this day, I think I should probably just edit
the rest. No, Damien, no.
But then
no,
I can't
Damien,
do that
no.
because there is a point. There's things that come after that I love. And so, yeah. Like, the whole time Superman has been out, all the Superman detractors, they're essentially saying that it feels too much like Batman, which I guess is a fair argument. It is a stupid argument, but it is surprising that people left their house, walked into a movie what starred Superman and expected this great story. That no story with a man called Superman can be great. That is a law. If you look it up under law in the dictionary, it says things that aren't laws. Superman. I don't understand. Sometimes the internet. What is that? The internet. That's what it does. God damn it. Andrew Robinson, what is your number one?
So, my number one movie, I'm just going to say it because we all love it. It's Gone Baby Gone. I was trying to figure out.
I knew someone was going to say that. I knew it.
That was your number one that you didn't want anyone to take?
Come on. My number one movie is Korean. Because they're the best. let's not joke about this.
Let's not joke about this. But yeah, Ben Affleck, I mean, he's come back as this great director, and this was his first feature, and it was just so solid. The movie was just so perfect in the way that it gave us the story of this guy coming to terms with his community, the guy who was like, I am the guy who can get shit done in this town, and then this thing happens which is so far beyond what he expected his community being able to do. And when he's asked to perform, he performs. The movie's great. I love it.
To the wonder is all I have to say about Ben Affleck.
No, of course. Yes,
Have you guys seen the trailer for Runner Runner with Ben Affleck in it?
Mm-hmm, with him and Justin Timberlake.
That looks. I find it so funny every time they have that line. Ask if you have to do it again. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so bad. Why did I pick this movie for the fantasy league?
I remember when we started this podcast, we all hated Ben Affleck with proper reason. He was eating garbage, and he made three movies and redeemed himself. And now he seems to be intentionally throwing up. All right. People like me know I have another Oscar to prove it. I'm going to fuck with you guys again. I think he's griefing the world. I think that's what's happening. He's doing this on purpose. Why would he be in To The Wonder? Seriously.
Of course.
Javier Bardem will be in anything. You can call him.
Yeah. He's like, I can speak English. Sure. Yeah.
Sounds like
that means people actually watch a movie. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's not James Bond.
That's not James Bond. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I believe we are on to number ones. My number one movie may not be what you expect
from you, Douglas. No.
It may...
Is it French?
No, it is not. See, I told you it wasn't what you expected.
All right, all those great French revenge movies.
Oh yes, like that one.
Yeah, yeah, like those.
Yeah. My number one movie is, and don't all chime in at once. Mm-hmm. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
All right, so
holy shit.
Can you just give me the proper number one and stop the answers? It's late. I can't have time for this.
What are you talking about? Listen.
No. Stop. Is this like a serious thing that you're about to do? Can you just give me the real number one? We don't have time, Douglas.
Listen here.
Douglas Robinson, we don't have time.
Not only does April get kidnapped in the first few minutes of this movie, but Sam Rockwell stars as Talking Thug number one. Okay. All right.
So that was hilarious, as you can hear by me and Andrew's reaction.
Now, so get the Douglas, real number one. Did it really get to you when Splinter gets taken?
Andrew, stop engaging. Can we just get the real number one, please?
Yes, it really did get to me. And actually, if you think about it, Splinter was kidnapped in the first movie too because he was in that cage when he was watching
his
owner get smacked down by Shredder.
Douglas Robinson.
Yeah.
Can I get the actual number one now, please?
The actual number one.
While that was amusing.
All right, fair enough.
Fast and 3 seconds.
Cowabunga.
Oh, yes.
I can't wait till Michael Bay cowabungas your dreams about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I have a bunch of movies that I could choose from.
Can you just
pick
one?
Hold on. And this one may actually be a little bit out there. But I'm going to go with Papillon.
Fair enough.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to go with Papillon, and you guys can tell me that it's not a kidnapping movie.
Why?
I've actually never seen it.
There we go. Ha!
Andrew, why haven't you seen this movie? What do you do? Oh, no, you were playing The Last of Us. Never mind. All right. You guys have made...
The Last of Us is awesome!
You guys have made, with the exception of Douglas, okay picks. I'm giving them
because Douglas made amazing picks.
Big hit is tremendous. Andrew had Gone Baby Gone, which was obvious. None of you guys picked any Korean movies because you're
I picked Old Boy, motherfucker.
That doesn't.
I had Old
that
Boy.
That is not
on
an
list.
American movie. Once it hits America, no one will remember that there's a Korean. We will know it is Korean. No one else in the world will. There's a Korean movie that would never be remade, not by Americans anyway. I Saw the Devil is perfect.
Yep. I almost said this, but I decided to leave.
I Saw the Devil, when it comes to kidnapping, this is the number one movie because it starts out with a kidnapping of the police detective's wife. And then he repeatedly kidnaps the guy that did that initial kidnapping and fucks with him for 2 hours. And by the end of the movie, when you see him walk down the road, both you and he have earned that cry. As it was. Because that movie, I have never seen someone take revenge that far for that long. No one has ever been this serious in a movie. Liam Neeson could only dream. Like, I wish that this movie was an American movie that I could tell other people to watch. Because I know, even when I say, guys, watch this movie, the second words hit the bottom of the screen, they're going to, now I have to read, so I'm out. But this movie is both the best revenge movie and the best kidnapping movie that I have ever. Nothing comes close. I remember Douglas saw the poster and Douglas was in love then. And I remember we saw the trailer, and I remember hearing people talk about the movie. And I remember the first time I sat down and watched the movie and lost my goddamn mind. It was like, I mean, it was just beyond anything I could have reasonably expected. I've seen revenge movies. I've seen kidnapping movies. None of them were like this. And this is for good reason. Because no man should be that serious when it comes to getting revenge. Oh, God, I love this movie. This is the movie that is better than Man on Fire. It is this, then Man on Fire. Now, other people might have different opinions. This is the one time I'm willing to fight everybody and tell them that they're wrong. You can't find two movies better. You can't find a movie about revenge better than those two. It is impossible. Taken is fun because you got to see a 90-year-old man destroy the whole of Paris. And fine. But there's issues that can be taken.
Oh, you almost did it. You almost did it.
So close. There's issues with Taken that you can point out and go, well, you know, this is kind of dumb on this section or whatever. I defy anyone to find issues with I Saw the Devil. And
I have one big issue with I Saw the Devil. I have to read.
Or Man on Fire. If you find an issue with Creasy Bear, you're a heartless person. You're heartless.
No, Damien, you know I love both of these movies.
Goddamn right.
Just
you
about
do.
As much as you do.
Oh, goddamn it, man. Douglas, it is like I hear people talk about movies and, you know, people getting revenge or whatever. And I just want to tap them on the shoulder and go, the movies that you're watching are terrible. Here are two movies that are the best. It is the peak. And I can't say it to any of them. Man on Fire didn't make that much money. And not, like, we love it. But not that many people have seen it, which is it is so sad. Whenever I say, you know, talk to certain people about Man on Fire, they just look at me like, I've never even heard of this. What are you talking about? Is that possible?
What makes it even worse, though, is when you possible? Talk to people who have watched Man on Fire and just don't like it.
I don't talk. If I ever met someone like that, I wouldn't talk to them. Oh, God. Yeah. So this is, well, not kidnapping, but revenge is clearly my favorite genre. And then behind that is
musicals?
Stupid action movies. Dumb action movies.
Oh, so where's musicals? They're third then?
Yeah, let's call it third. Mm-hmm. Right. Andrew knows that. I love musicals.
Yeah.
Less miserable.
I think we should review more musicals on the podcast.
Yeah, we should review Less Miserables. There's non-stop singing. Have you seen it, Douglas?
No, I haven't.
Douglas, this don't stop. There's
speaking of musicals, have singing. I ever made us watch? I know Andrew's seen it already, which probably means I haven't. But have I made us watch Hedwig and the Angry Inch before?
Yes, we did.
We did? Yeah. Oh, okay.
We talked about that like really early in the podcast.
Yeah, I figured as much. Okay.
You're like,
it would have been early.
This is the craziest thing ever. And then you kept saying it and saying it. And then we had to watch it. And Andrew enjoyed it. And for Damien there was singing.
Anyways, guys, that's been the podcast. So I just want to say thanks for listening. As usual, you can hear the podcast via iTunes on the website at G-Man Reviews, through Stitcher, and just generally a lot of other podcast aggregators or software that you can get for your phones or such.
Just had a stroke.
It's the second one today, actually.
As usual, you can find us all on Twitter. Damien is at Damien_White. Please tell him that you do read Korean revenge films and you have seen I Saw the Devil.
Don't talk to me on Twitter.
Go say hi to Douglas at DJ Our Lost Is Damien. Tell him that he needs to stop talking about the big hit because Trace Buster Buster is only so good. Actually, no. Tell him it's awesome because that movie is. And I'm at G-Brand Reviews, where you can tell me all of my opinions are wrong, because that's what everyone else does.
Especially your opinions on Django.
Especially my opinions on Django, being one of the top 10 films of last year.
Not the top, though.
Not at all. What was your number one film of last year, Damien?
Looper.
Was it Django?
I haven't seen Django at that point.
Okay, so is Django better than Looper?
No.
Okay, so...
But it doesn't matter.
That note,
because I didn't
on that note. On that note.
It doesn't matter.
No, on that note.
It couldn't have been there because it didn't get a chance to be there. I didn't have to have that argument with myself. Got a free pass. So yay.
Yay.
And let's be honest. If we're doing the top 10 movies of last year at this point, Zero Dark destroys everything else on my list. I love Looper and all, but Zero Dark is my favorite movie that technically came out for the two people in the world that saw it before it was pushed into 2013.
No, but hold on, Damien. I do believe that we forced Andrew to take Zero Dark out of his top 10 so that we would include it in this year. So right, we still have our chance.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And so far, nothing is. There have been some fun movies. But no.
I'm still considering it 2012. I'm not putting it in 2013.
Nope. Nope,
that's me. That's me. Y'all can do as you please.
Yeah, whatever.
So anyways, thanks for listening and good night.
Good night.